sweet humble prayer that's gone before already. I appreciate this congregation that has turned out to the Lord's house. I appreciate the children that have showed up to be with their mothers. And I'm thankful for the mothers that are represented here. You know, I got good advice. Well, I've got a lot of good advice. Not from myself, but from others. I don't have too much. But I got the advice one time that when you're preaching, or trying to preach, and we have special days throughout the year, but you never want to make a sermon or try to preach just based on the day. I don't want to preach a Mother's Day sermon. I don't want to preach a Father's Day sermon. I don't want to preach an Easter sermon or a Christmas sermon. I would just preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Every time I stand behind this pulpit, that's what I want to preach about. Because that's where my joy, that's where our hope, that's where our rest, that's where it all stands, on the solid rock. Now, if what's on my mind happens to go in with the day, well, then that's on the Spirit and not on me. But I trust that what I have on my heart to speak to you today is of the Spirit and of the Lord. And if it's not, we won't do much preaching here today. The thoughts I have come from the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4. We'll start in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. If we're going to have comfort, I want you to know where it's going to come from, child of God. My Father's beloved, if we're going to have comfort, it's going to come from God, the one who is of all comfort, who comforted us all in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, that's a lot of suffering and suffers, and I don't want to get y'all confused yet this morning. I'll stop there a minute. What's Apostle Paul talking about here? He's talking about, you know, as a minister of God, we suffer too, just as the child of God suffers. And as a minister of God, we're trying to take those sufferings that we suffer and comfort ourselves with the Word of God and the same tribulations that you're going through, the preacher is supposed to go through. And when we go through those tribulations together, we're supposed to look to the Word of God that we might be able to comfort God's little children. And that's what Paul's saying here. The tribulations that he goes through, he wants to use that to comfort God's children. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, when we're comforted, we're supposed to use those same words and comfort you. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope is of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. Would it do you any good to come to church and listen to a man that doesn't suffer the same things you suffer? If I didn't have any troubles, how could I comfort God's children? I want you to know, child of God, ministers suffer too. We're in this together. We also suffer. And he would not, you know what, do any good if I stood up here and withheld my troubles from you. If I had no experiences you did, how could I comfort those that need comforting? I tell you, a preacher once told me, he says, it's hard to comfort the comfortable. I tell you, child of God, in this world, we're going to be uncomfortable. And if the child of God is comfortable in this old world, we need to do some soul searching. I tell you, there's things in this old life that make me uncomfortable right now. There's things that are going on in this world that make me uncomfortable. And I'm needing comfort. And if I'm in need of comfort, I know you're in need of comfort. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. You consider what the apostles went through. I don't think, other than the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, anyone went through the persecutions that the early church went through at the hands of the Romans, at the hands of the Jewish nation. He said he wouldn't have you ignorant of the trouble that he which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. They were pressed so hard, they were without their own strength. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. They were scared for their very lives. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. They thought they were done for. They had no trust in their own strength. But what does it say? But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. They were scared for their very lives. They were scared of death to the point that the only trust they had was in God, which raiseth the dead. I tell you what, children of God, we're going to see troubles in this life. And the only comfort I have to give you is that our God has defeated death, hell, and the grave because of what he did on the cross. Not because of our works. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. And that's the only hope we have. Not in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. You know, this whole world is going to try to persecute you and make you scared of death. But I want you to know our God, we sang a song this morning said, victory in Jesus. I want you to know that's exactly what we had in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have victory over death, hell, and the grave. Death has no power over the child of God anymore. If any hope and comfort that I can give you, it rests in the resurrected body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, while this world persecutes you, I want you to know you've been, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through his mercy and grace, has made you invincible to what this world has to throw at it. The power that death had was sin, and he conquered that, washed it away to be remembered no more. In ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. That's where our hope lies, is in the resurrection. This isn't all there is. You know, I think it's fitting that in the first chapter here, we're talking about consoling each other through our tribulations and trials. Well, there's nothing more universal that every child of God goes through than death. That's what they're talking about. They're afraid of death here. They were pressed so far. Their tribulations were so hard that they were scared for their very lives. They were scared to death. But their comfort was in the God which raiseth the dead. You know, that's what we all have in common. We all going to die. We all suffer loss. You know, when I think about my life, the darkest time of my life, or the darkest times of my life, that I found is gathered around those that I love when it's time for them to pass on and die. Some of the most despair I felt in my life was when those that I love passed on and died. That's the darkest hour, I think, for every child of God, is when we have to face death. When we have to face the reality that one of our loved ones is going to leave this old earth and we're going to be without them. I tell you what, there's a sorrow in that. But there's a godly sorrow. I want you to know there's a difference. This Bible tells us we were not supposed to sorrow as other sorrow. We're not supposed to sorrow as those of no hope. We have a hope. Our hope is Jesus. Our hope is the resurrection. Well, our hope is that there isn't. This life is not all there is. For this very reason, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this earth. I want to prove that to you just a minute. If we turn to Luke chapter 22 and verse 53. I want to point out a few things to you in a few places. Chapter 22 and verse 53. And we'll find that the Jews and these soldiers have come to take the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 52, it says, "Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." See, the hour had come for our Lord and Savior to give up his life. But I want you to notice a thing, a few things here. "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." You know why they never stretched his hands out against him? Because our Lord and Savior didn't allow him to, because his time was not yet come. How many times did God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while he lived, say, "My hour is not yet come"? See, but now is the hour. And the only reason now that they could stretch forth his hands is because God allowed it. My Lord and Savior said, "No man hath power to take my life, but I lay down my life for the sheep. No man hath power. I have power to take it, and I have power to raise it up." But it says, "But this is your hour and the power of darkness." This was the time when the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to die. He was going to go to the cross. He knew it was the time. He says, this was the hour. But if you'll go read in John 12, I believe verse 27 or so down there, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, "For this is the hour that I came, for that I come." See, this was the very, this power of darkness, this hour that we're talking about here is the very hour that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came. You know, I think about all the things that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did while he lived. You know, the miracle he did at the wedding feast and the turning the water into the wine, all the wonderful works he did. That's not why he came, child of God. He came to die. He came to die on me in your stead. Because we were dead in sins and trespasses. There was nothing we could do for ourselves to save ourselves from that death. But for the very purpose, he came at the darkest hour. He didn't come for the best hour. He came for the darkest hour. For this is my hour. And he didn't leave his apostles and disciples wondering about it. He told them about why he came. If we turn to John chapter 16. He tells his disciples and apostles here that he's going away. For this very purpose he came to die. Verse 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice." I tell you, the power of darkness, the hour had come for them. And they thought they had something on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they were rejoicing. It says, "The world shall rejoice, but us, his disciples, ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." Isn't that wonderful to think that our sorrow will be turned into joy? He uses this as a description of it. He says, "A woman when she is in travail has sorrow, because her hour is come." See, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's hour was come. Nobody likes sufferings while it's happening. But sometimes good things come out of those sufferings. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." See, they were going to sorrow. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to be crucified. Our loved ones are going to pass away. We're going to have sorrow. And for this purpose, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that even in our sorrow, we might have joy. You know, the only way for that is if death has been defeated. I tell you what, when my mama died, if I thought that was the last time I was going to see my mom, oh, that grief and that sorrow would be a whole lot worse. See, some of y'all still got your mama here this day. And that's glorious. That's a blessing. You hug them. Kiss them. Do something good for them while you got them. But one day you're going to be where I am. Or a lot of us are. And that's what I would speak comfort to you. Because that day is coming. I don't say that to bring you down today. But my job is to give comfort to those that need comforting. For joy that a man is born in the world, and ye now therefore have sorrow. And these are the greatest words. But I will see you again. And your heart, not gonna, not maybe, shall. Oh, I love the shalls of the Bible. Shall rejoice. And your joy, no man taketh from you. See, there's no world to tell you that somebody can take your joy from you. But I tell you, the joy that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has accomplished through the death, His death, burial, and resurrection, no man can take from the child of God. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that no principality or power in this earth can do to undo what God has done on our behalf. And no man can take that joy away from you. This purpose, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He came in our darkest hour that we might have joy. Came in our darkest hour that we might have joy. You understand that when we lay down our loved ones to rest, when mom and daddy go home and fall asleep in the grave, I want you to know we ought not sorrow as other sorrows. Our Lord and Savior Jesus crying down in our darkest hour and redeemed that which was lost. And no man shall take away our joy. I say that to you this morning with also a warning. This Bible tells me that we should not sorrow as others sorrow. That tells me there's a godly sorrow. But there's also a sorrow that's not godly. See, when we forget that we have this hope, see, the world is not going to rob you of the reality of the salvation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it will try to wear you down and try to rob you of the hope and the joy you have of that hope. There's a sorrow that is not godly. There's a sorrow that the devil likes to use against God's people. He likes to rob you of the joy. How many times have I heard somebody lose their loved one? And then the pain of the sorrow they had for that loss robbed them of all the joy they had in their life to the point that they committed suicide. That's not godly sorrow, people. That's sorrow that the devil uses to rob you of your joy. How many times have I heard of somebody say, you know, and that's a big thing, but just from the smallest things that they can, the devil uses the sorrow to rob our joy. You know, I heard somebody the other day say, you know, I used to like to go to this place. I like to do this. But now that mom and daddy's gone, I just don't like to do that anymore. The pain hurts too much. The sorrow hurts too much. I just can't enjoy those things anymore. You think mom and daddy would want you to feel that way? I tell you, mom and daddy, when they leave this old earth, this Bible tells me to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Can that give you some comfort this morning? You know, I remember when mom and daddy was alive. You know, sometimes I wouldn't just always come up here and see them. I'd go do something with some friends or something like that. And, you know, sometimes I don't know if it was the Westbrook or the Myers in me. You know, I would feel guilt that I was off having fun and I thought mom and daddy was at home not having fun. You know, I couldn't have a good time doing what I was doing with my friends, thinking mom and daddy wasn't having a good time and was missing me. I tell you something, brother. Our loved ones, when they leave this old world, They're a lot better off than us. They're having a good time. They're rejoicing with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're praising His name. They're standing in the very presence of God. Don't let your sorrow in this life that you have because we lost our loved ones keep you from enjoying everything that God has given you and given you to enjoy. Don't let that. We ought not sorrow like others sorrow. For we have the hope of the resurrection. I thank you for your good and attention this morning.